Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks.
In the quiet suburbs of Maryland in the late 1940s, something unexplainable began to unfold in the home of an ordinary family. The events that transpired in the life of a boy known only by his pseudonym Roland Doe would defy reason and challenge the boundaries of faith, science, and fear. What started as strange, seemingly innocuous incidents escalated into one of the most famous cases of alleged demonic possession in American history. This is the story of a young boy's terrifying ordeal, an ordeal that would eventually inspire one of the most chilling horror films of all time. Roland was an only child growing up in a small, tightly knit family. His relationship with his aunt, a spiritualist named Harriet, was especially close. Aunt Harriet introduced him to the world of the supernatural at an early age, often using a Ouija board to communicate with what she believed were spirits. To Roland, these sessions seemed like an innocent curiosity, a way to bond with his beloved aunt. But after her sudden death, the boy and his family began experiencing things they could not explain. It started with scratching sounds, faint at first, like the scurrying of rats behind the walls. The noises came at odd times, usually at night when the house was still. At first, the family assumed it was a rodent problem. But as days passed, the noises became louder, more insistent, and moved through the house as though following an invisible path. No matter how much they searched, they could never find the source. Soon, the scratching was accompanied by the sound of objects moving, furniture scraping across the floor, and footsteps echoing in empty rooms. The family was baffled and, more disturbingly, frightened. They were devout Lutherans, not the sort of people to believe in ghosts or spirits, but what they were experiencing was becoming harder to dismiss. Things took an even stranger turn when Roland's bed began to shake violently at night, often lifting off the floor with the boy still in it. His parents witnessed the bed move with their own eyes, but despite their fear, they had no idea what was causing it. Could it have been a manifestation of their grief? Or was it something darker, something that was now targeting their son? The activity grew more intense, centering around Roland himself. Objects near him would levitate or fly across the room with no logical explanation. His behavior began to change, too. The quiet, introverted boy became moody, aggressive, and would speak in a voice that wasn't his own, deep, guttural, and filled with anger. At times, his body would twist in ways that seemed unnatural, as though he were being controlled by something unseen. His parents, desperate for answers, sought help from doctors, but no medical explanation could be found. Roland was healthy, they said. Physically, there was nothing wrong with him, but the family knew something wasn't right. Fearing that their home had become a place of evil, the family turned to their pastor for help. After witnessing some of the strange events for himself, the pastor, unnerved, advised the family to contact the Catholic Church, believing that what they were dealing with could be demonic in nature. Reluctantly, the family reached out to Father E. Albert Hughes, a Catholic priest in the area, hoping that he could offer some form of relief. Father Hughes visited the family's home and spent time with Roland, observing the strange occurrences firsthand. He, too, was convinced that the boy was the victim of something far more malevolent than psychological trauma. After a period of reflection and consultation with the church, Father Hughes agreed to perform an exorcism. The ritual was carried out in a hospital, away from the family's home, but it didn't go as planned. During the exorcism, Roland reportedly became violent, thrashing against his restraints with inhuman strength. In the midst of the ritual, he broke free, tearing the bedsprings from the mattress and using them as a weapon, slashing Father Hughes across his arm. The exorcism was abruptly halted, and Father Hughes was left physically injured and deeply shaken. The boy's condition seemed to worsen after the failed exorcism, and his family, fearing for his life, decided to move him to St. Louis, Missouri, to stay with relatives. They hoped that a change of environment might break whatever hold was on their son. But Roland's condition followed him to St. Louis. His aunt and uncle's home, once peaceful, became the new stage for the strange and terrifying phenomena. Objects would move on their own. Doors would slam shut with incredible force, and the house would be filled with the sound of scratching, pounding, and footsteps. Roland's condition continued to deteriorate. His fits became more violent, and he would speak in languages he had never learned. His family's fear turned to desperation. It was in St. Louis that the family was introduced to Father William Bodern, a Jesuit priest and professor at St. Louis University. Father Bodern, along with his assistant Father Walter Halloran, agreed to perform a series of exorcisms on the boy, a decision that would take both men to the limits of their faith. Over the course of several weeks, in March and April of 1949, they battled to rid Roland of the entity that had taken hold of him. The exorcisms were brutal, often taking place late at night. Father Bodern and his team would begin with prayers, calling upon the power of the church to drive the demon from Roland's body. But as the prayers grew louder, Roland would convulse violently, his body twisting and writhing on the bed. He would spit, twisting and writhing on the bed. He would spit, scream, and speak in deep, guttural tones, voices that seemed to belong to something far more ancient and evil than a young boy. His eyes would roll back in his head, and he would lash out at the priests with unnatural strength, often requiring multiple men to restrain him. But it wasn't just the physical reactions that unnerved those present. Roland began speaking in Latin, an ancient language that he had never been taught. At times, he would mock the priests, hurling insults in a voice that wasn't his own. The entity inside him seemed to relish the suffering it caused, taunting those who were trying to drive it out. During the session, supernatural occurrences began to manifest around the room. Objects would fly through the air, sometimes narrowly missing the priests. Religious symbols, crucifixes, holy water, and rosaries seemed to enrage the entity even further. It was reported that as prayers were recited, strange words like hell and evil would appear scratched into Roland's skin, only to fade away moments later. The temperature in the room would drop suddenly, the air becoming thick with a malevolent presence that left everyone involved with an overwhelming sense of dread. Father Bodern knew that what they were dealing with was no ordinary spirit. This was something darker, something intent on breaking the boy's body and soul. For weeks, they continued the exorcism rites, battling against the entity that refused to relinquish its hold on Roland. Despite the intensity of the sessions, the priests refused to give up. They believed that, with enough faith, They could drive the demon out, but the process was slow and grueling. There were moments when Roland would appear to be at peace, calm even, but they were fleeting. Soon the fits would return, more violent than before. The boy would thrash, curse, and scream, and the air would once again be filled with the sense that something unholy was fighting back. Roland's family, helpless to stop what was happening, could only watch as their son's condition worsened. They prayed for a miracle, for an end to the torment. But as the days dragged on, it seemed as though the demon's grip on Roland was tightening. Finally, after weeks of exorcism, something shifted. During one of the final sessions, a voice from within Roland identified itself as the demon, declaring its intention to never leave. The battle seemed lost. But the priests, undeterred, continued their prayers, invoking the power of God and the church to banish the entity once and for all. Then, without warning, Roland's body convulsed violently one last time before collapsing onto the bed. The room fell silent. Those present described a feeling of calm washing over the room, a peacefulness that had been absent for weeks. The oppressive atmosphere lifted, and for the first time in months, Roland was at peace. He opened his eyes, no longer filled with rage, and spoke in his own voice, asking where he was. The priests, exhausted but relieved, knew that the exorcism had finally worked. The demon had been driven out and the boy was free. After the exorcism, Roland's condition improved rapidly. He returned to his normal self with no memory of the events that had taken place during the possession. His family, grateful for the help of the church, relocated once again, hoping to leave the horrors of the past behind them. Roland went on to live a normal life, his identity kept secret to protect him from the public attention that the case had drawn. The Catholic Church, though reluctant to discuss the case in detail, quietly acknowledged the exorcism as legitimate. Father Bowden and Father Halloran, both deeply affected by the experience, continued their work within the church, though neither would ever forget the harrowing battle they fought in that small room in St. Louis. For them, it was a clear example of the power of faith over darkness. As for the case itself, it would likely have faded into obscurity, remembered only by those directly involved, had it not caught the attention of a writer named William Peter Blatty. Blatty, intrigued by the reports of the exorcism, used the case as the inspiration for his 1971 novel, The Exorcist, which would go on to become a bestseller and 2 years later a blockbuster film. Though Blatty took creative liberties with the story, changing Roland's character to a young girl named Regan and heightening the supernatural elements, the core of the narrative remained: a child possessed by an evil force and the priests who risked everything to save them. The exorcism of Roland Doe quickly became one of the most famous cases of demonic possession in modern history, and its legacy continues to this day. The story has been retold countless times, each version adding new layers of mystery and fear to the original events. For those who believe in the supernatural, the case serves as chilling proof of the existence of demonic forces and the lengths to which they will go to corrupt and destroy. For skeptics, the case remains a subject of debate, with many offering alternative explanations, psychological disorders, repressed trauma, or even epilepsy, to account for Roland's strange behavior. Yet no matter how many explanations are offered, the events witnessed by the priests, doctors, and family members involved in the case remain difficult to dismiss. Those who were there reported seeing things that defied reason, events that could not be explained away by science or medicine. The physical manifestations, the voices, the violent reactions to religious symbols, all of these point to something far more sinister than a simple psychological disturbance. Some have suggested that Roland's exposure to the occult, particularly his use of the Ouija board with his aunt, may have opened a door to something dark, whether it was a demonic entity, as the church believed, or the boy's mind reacting to deep emotional trauma, the result was the same. A terrifying ordeal that left a lasting mark on all who were involved. For Roland, life after the exorcism returned to normal. His family kept a low profile, and he grew up to live a quiet, unremarkable life. To this day, his true identity remains protected, with only a few individuals aware of who Roland Doe truly was. But the story of his possession and the exorcism that saved him has left an indelible mark on the world. The case of Roland Doe stands as one of the most documented and well-known cases of demonic possession in history. It has been studied, scrutinized, and debated for decades. But the truth of what happened in that St. Louis home remains elusive. For some, it is a testament to the power of faith and the existence of evil. For others, it is a cautionary tale about the dangers of delving too deeply into the unknown. Whatever the truth may be, one thing is certain. The story of Roland Doe has become a permanent fixture in the annals of paranormal history. And for those who believe, it serves as a reminder that there are forces in this world, forces that we may never fully understand, that exist just beyond the veil of our reality, waiting for the opportunity to make themselves known.
Want to dig deeper in the paranormal deep dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new paranormal deep dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.